From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series on prayer with a further examination of the features of the Lord's Prayer. In these beloved words, the Lord Jesus Christ sets forth the leading features of all true prayer. Today, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the request, Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. As Dr. Cairns will point out, the little word and connects the two parts of the petition. Indeed, there is a definite connection between forgiveness and having our prayers answered. In this message, Dr. Cairns will develop four lessons that Christ would have us to learn from this connection. In the first place, we learn that unforgiven sin hinders prayer and robs us of the ability to get through to God on matters of great importance. Dr. Cairns will bring the first portion of the message shortly. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, One with Christ Jesus. The text is found in John chapter 14 and verse 19. The words of Christ Himself, Because I live, ye shall live also. Jesus has made the life of believers in Him as certain as His own. As sure as the head lives, the members live also. If Jesus has not risen from the dead, then we are dead in our sins. But since He has risen, all believers are risen in Him. His death has put away our transgressions and loosed the bonds which held us under the death sentence. His resurrection proves our justification. We are absolved. And mercy says, The Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Jesus has made the life of His people as eternal as His own. How can they die as long as He lives, seeing they are one with Him? Because He dieth no more, and death hath no more dominion over Him, so they shall no more return to the graves of their old sins, but shall live unto the Lord in newness of life. O believer, when under great temptation thou fearest that thou shalt one day fall by the hand of the enemy, let this reassure thee. Thou shalt never lose thy spiritual life, for it is hid with Christ in God. Thou dost not doubt the immortality of thy Lord. Therefore, do not think that He will let thee die, since thou art one with Him. The argument for thy life is His life, and of that thou canst have no fear. Wherefore, rest in the living Lord.
Joy of what thou art,
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
We continue looking at the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. We come now to the verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. With this petition, we come to those two petitions that deal, or three if you split the next one in two, as most commentators nowadays tend to do. We come to those that deal with sin and evil. The first three petitions had all to do with the Lord. And while there is the implication that there was sin in the world that needed to be dealt with, it was not explicitly mentioned. The fourth petition had to do with our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Now we come to the petitions that deal with sin and evil. And as he instructs us in these things, the Lord Jesus Christ has two things in mind for which we ought to pray. First, pardon for sin. The pardon of sin is the first great thing. When he directs our attention to sin, wickedness, and evil that ought to engage us, the pardon of sin. And then after that, he deals with the prevention of sin. For once you have been cleansed, it is good to be kept. Once you know the pardon, to know the power that will preserve you from constant defeat and indeed falling into ever worse iniquity. Now, from these references of Christ, you will see immediately that he takes the matter of sin very, very seriously. And so should we, whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved. As you listen to God's word this morning, there's a word for you, because this is something that all of us should take very, very seriously. The scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 9, fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a joke out of sin. Fools make light of sin, especially their own sin. Fools mock at the thought that sin is sin. They make mockery at the thought of the judgment of God upon sin. They make light of God's provision for cleansing from sin. And fools never more clearly display their folly than in their attitude to sin. The Proverbs tell us again in chapter 30 and verse 20 of an adulterous woman. She eateth, she has committed adultery. She eateth, she wipeth her mouth, and saith, I have done no wickedness. That's a fool looking at sin. That, my friend, unfortunately, is the spirit of the age in which we live. There was a time in this nation, just as there was in our nation across the ocean, not very long ago, indeed within a generation, when a preacher could preach on God's law, he could preach on man's responsibility, he could preach on the reality of sin, and even the most ungodly seemed to have a point of contact in that they, even though they rebelled against God, yet in their conscience there was the realization that this book of God provides the standard of what is right and what is wrong, and how to judge sin was something that even the ungodly seemed to recognize. But that is no longer the case. We live in what is called a pragmatic age. That is an age that has adopted the philosophy that what works is true, and what works is right. What works is what seems to produce beneficial results in me. Makes me feel good. Makes more money for me. It gives me more opportunity. It works for me. It produces something beneficial in me. At least I judge it to be beneficial. Therefore, this must be true. It must be right. At least it is true for me. It is right for me. And so you hear the constant buzzwords of today. It is my truth. You've heard that many a time. Now, for centuries, ungodly philosophers have come up with one system of philosophy after another in order to try to get men to believe this. While the Church of Jesus Christ was true and faithful to the preaching of the gospel of the sovereign grace of God and the mighty transcendent glory of God, that gospel provided a barrier against which these philosophies of men could make little or no headway. But with the apostasy of modern Christendom, with the adoption of man-centered theologies and man-centered gospels, with the degeneracy of even what is known as evangelicalism into a man-centered, touchy-feely, feel-good religion, the barriers have been blown away. And now what only a few crackpot philosophers believed is the common belief of the man in the street. He doesn't know how he got there. He hasn't a clue, and he is even less worried as to where it's leading him. He is a fool making a mock at sin. People today don't think in terms of sin and holiness anymore. They think in terms of what is relatively going to feel good or better or worse, or produce more or produce less, so that no longer do we judge a man's decision or a man's behavior according to some absolute standard, or especially that of the law of God. We must, we are told, judge it in the light of the situation in which he finds himself. That's what is called situation ethics. Morality no longer is judged by the absolute standard of God, but rather by the situation in which a man finds himself. Now you see the results of this all around you. I've just read you from Proverbs 30 about an adulterous woman. She eats, she wipes her mouth, she says, "I've done no wickedness." Now, it's not only true of her. You live in a society now where people parade their immorality. Our local newspaper affronts this so-called buckle on the Bible Belt almost every week by taking one of the foulest, filthiest sodomites in this area and gives him an editorial page to spew his hellish filth into the minds of the young people of this area. But it's okay. People parade their wickedness and their premarital wickedness particularly, and they produce offspring which they then parade before the state and say, "I have done no evil." You look at it all the way down from your president and those who are about to sit in judgment, who are scared to sit in judgment because most of them have just been as vile and filthy, but just haven't been caught. And if they have, they haven't had the position where it has haunted them. Through your Congress, through your court system, through every stratum of society, and even in the so-called Church of Christ itself. I read a columnist just the other day eulogizing the United Methodist apostasy. Now, if you're a United Methodist visiting here today, I'm glad you're here. I hope you'll never put foot in that apostasy again, for the very simple reason that God is not in it. He says, come out, come out. This man was eulogizing a United Methodist church that had just celebrated a sodomite marriage, and he wanted the rest of us to believe that this would be such a fulfillment of the Christian vision if we were all, in all our churches, to adopt such diabolical filth. Let me make it clear to you today. If you as an individual, or we as a church, speak against the mocking, mad attitude of the world towards sin, we will be censured. I want you to know this. If you were to appear on a television talk show or an interview in the news, and you had a sodomite and a lesbian and an adulterer, and they were all saying, this is what we have done, but we have not sinned, and you were to get up and give them God's word, they would all, almost without exception, be eulogized, and you would be censured as bigoted, narrow-minded, harsh, and unloving. It doesn't matter that you love God. Doesn't matter that you love truth. Doesn't matter that you love the Bible. It doesn't matter that you love the souls of men. It doesn't matter that you have a loving interest in their eternal welfare. Those things the world mocks and casts aside as a filthy thing, and they embrace the filthy thing and call it good. The woe of Isaiah chapter 5 becomes very real, because God's curse is on those who call good evil and who call evil good. Of course, the real reason for this moral mess is that men have lost all conception of the holiness of God. That's the real thing. When you hear a man making light of sin, and I don't care if he's a preacher, a university theologian, I don't care if he's a politician or a philosopher or just the man in the street. If you hear anybody who has a small view of his own sin or sin in general, you have out of his own mouth the clear testimony that he has no conception at all of the holiness of God. Any man who has ever been caught into the presence of God as he has thought through the words, hallowed, sanctified, declared holy, be thy name, that man will never take a light view of sin.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.